I'm Alan Coates. I want to welcome George Campanelli. George Campanelli is a best-selling author, founder of Age Nation, and he has a new book out called A Guide to Living Consciously and Aging Wisely. But, George, you might be surprised to find out why, immediately when I saw your name, I wanted to have you on my show.
Well, I'm interested to find out, Alan. It's nice to be here.
I took Insight with you.
You're kidding me.
In 1989, in New York City.
Son of a gun.
And you were terrific.
Well, thank you.
And that's why when I saw you had this book, I immediately said, I got to get you on, because you had the greatest line I've never forgotten this, because those of us who strive to evolve ourselves as human beings, and we do things like, which is no longer around insight training seminars, but we do these higher consciousness things that we go to Esalen or whatever we do.
Yep.
And somebody got up in our seminar, I don't know if you remember this, or maybe it's a line you've used before, and this guy says, you know, I've done EST, I'm doing insight, I've done meditation, and he goes through a long list of things. He says, when am I going to be enlightened? And you're standing on the stage, you say, you are enlightened, stupid. I don't know if you remember that or not.
I don't remember that instance, and it's not a line I use often. But anyway, it's a pleasure to reconnect with you.
Well, thank you very, very much. For those who don't know, insight was just one of those things that existed a long time ago that some of us took to kind of get our minds focused and get ourself in the right place. And you've gone on to do some really great work since then. For example, Age Nation, which is a new digital media company you have, bringing information, education, inspiration to what, 150 million Americans, 50 and up?
It will be eventually over the next decade or two, 150 million Americans. At the moment, it's about 120 million, but it's a huge army of human beings. And certainly the stuff that's going on in the world today that we're on the edge of has all of our attention, you know, and our book, Do Not Go Quietly, A Guide to Living Consciously and Aging Wisely, is a book for people who are in the second half of life and also younger people who want to know more about the road.
You see, I don't see this as just specific to older people, because
no.
Younger people are going to be in that age group, 40-plus, or even 40-plus before you even know it. And the techniques you talk about, and having studied with you, actually, although you don't know me, but I knew you before you knew me, is applicable to everybody.
It is, because, you know, we're living in a world high-paced, a lot of stress, a lot of challenges, and so being awake, being on our feet, being in the present moment as much as possible, and above all, you know, living the lives we were born to live. And those lives aren't really about all of the nonsense that's going on today, you know?
Yeah.
And one of the things we feel and feel strongly, Alan, my wife Sedina is the co-author
yes.
of our book, and one of the things we really believe is that throughout history, every society that has honored and kept faith with the wisdom of their elders, those societies have endured and thrived and prospered, and those who have disregarded the wisdom of the elders, the experience
yeah.
forged in life, they've imploded. And as we look out at America today, we're sincerely concerned that we are on the edge of not just a fiscal cliff, but a
yeah.
intellectual spirit.
And the idea that we can't control things, I think, is what
yeah.
drives people crazy. You talked about living in the moment, and having read both of Eckhart Tolle's books, which became very popularized via Oprah eventually. Let's explore that concept for a moment, the idea that one can live without worrying about the future or reflecting too much on the past.
Well, especially if what one does in the present is in alignment with the values that we hold and what we're here to do. Because, you know, we believe that each of us comes in with a special gift, and that's the gift that we're here to discover and unfold during our lives. In indigenous cultures, when a child was born, the elders gathered and they tried to identify what that gift was that the child was bringing. And then their job was to help mentor and guide that child into adulthood, developing that gift. And unfortunately, in our world today, when children are born, one of the first things we do is that we encourage and teach them to be like everybody else
yeah.
rather than to be different.
Right. And as you get older, you really become in touch with your uniqueness. And then you worry, well, is it too late now that I've got some wisdom to make the changes I really should have made 20 or 30 years ago?
Well, there again, I mean, we believe that, you're never too old or too young to connect with those basic dreams and those essential things that you've come here to do. And it may be that you're in the last year or decade or whatever of your life, but you can still do some of those things that give you energy and enthusiasm and joy and that you know are part of your gift. You know?
Now, how do you replace, as you talk about in your book, limiting beliefs with positive and constructive ones? How do you make that change?
Well, the first thing you have to do is to identify that it's a limiting belief. Is it a belief, you know, when you look at and make a list of a number of the principal beliefs that you hold? I can do this. I don't know how to do that. I'm not supposed to do this. Where did those beliefs come from? A lot of times we just adopt beliefs when we're children, and we never bother to question them for the rest of our lives. So if a belief is working for you, then it's increasing the joy, the enthusiasm, the engagement you feel in your life.
Is it as simple as just saying, I've got a bad thought, here's another thought I just want to, the minute you have that bad thought, putting another thought in your head?
Sure, you replace it. You experiment. You say, well, gee, is it true that I can't do this, you know? Just because I was scribbling on a piece of paper when I was a kid and somebody came by and said, hey, that doesn't look like a horse or a tree or whatnot, I gave up drawing for the rest of my life. Well, I enjoy drawing, so why shouldn't I experiment with it? And that's true of thousands of things we do. So if there are limiting beliefs, beliefs that separate us from others, that close our hearts, that restrict us, boy, those are things you get rid of as quickly as you can so that the life you lead is one of enthusiasm and joy.
George Campanelli, is with us. He's written Do Not Go Quietly, A Guide to Living Consciously and Aging Wisely. For people who weren't born yesterday, talk about forgiveness and how that can help you stay ageless.
Well, you know, a lot of us don't forgive either ourselves or other people, because we feel that if we forgive, we let either ourselves or someone else off the hook. And that forgiveness closes, the lack of it closes our heart, it shuts us down, it's like a weight we're dragging around with us. But when we are guilty about something that we have done, if we forgive ourselves, we give ourselves the opportunity to give again in a new way, to experiment with new values and whatnot. The same with other people. If, you know, some of us are dragging around resentments about other people that we've held for decades or longer. We prevent people in our family from getting close to us because something happened in 1903 that still, you know, upset about. Let it go. And open your heart to what's possible here and now. And I find, and we find, that what happens is there's just new energy, new passion, new enthusiasm, and you see life and people with new eyes.
The other part of your book I wanted to discuss, we can't obviously talk the whole thing, but the part where you quote Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who says it's the denial of death that is partially responsible for people living empty, purposeless lives, for when you live as if you'll live forever, it becomes too easy to postpone the things you know that you must do.
Yeah, and Carlos Castaneda said the same thing. He said, you know, keep death over your left shoulder and consult with it throughout your life so that you remember how precious life is. It's not endless. It's not limitless. And so what we do in each moment is a choice, and the choice we make either gives us the opportunity to live more fully and abundantly and excitedly, or it shuts us down out of...
How do you get over the fear of dying?
First of all, we've died, most of us, a whole lot of times, at least in my belief system.
How's that?
Well, I mean, I believe that this is not our only time here on the earth.
Uh-huh.
That we come again and again. But even if it is our only time, The fact of the matter is, the way you get over the fear of dying is to live fully. If you live fully, and if you're really engaged in your life, and you're pushing the boundaries, and you're doing things that serve you and serve other people, then as you get older, you're not afraid of dying, because it's like a vacation from a life well lived. The people who are most afraid of dying, as Kubler-Ross says, are those who haven't lived. They haven't expressed themselves. So they're always anxious. They're always worried about when's it going to end, because I haven't done what I came here to do.
George Cappanelli, the book is called Do Not Go Quietly, A Guide to Living Consciously and Aging Wisely. I'm so happy to reconnect with you because you've been very important in my life, although you didn't know it. So thank you very much for talking to us tonight.
Oh, Alan, it's a pleasure. I'd love to come back sometime and talk further. And offline, I'd love to reconnect.
I would like that as well. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
George Cappanelli, we'll come right back at 877-4-ALAN.